You know, we've been studying Job, and we've been doing that for quite a while. So I saw a lot of, you know, Job's persecuted, and he's a righteous, upright man. You go on YouTube, and there's other people that say that Job had his faults too, right? And I can understand that. They said if you study Psalms, and that's one thing that was hard for me as a young person. It's a lot of love. It's like David just loves God. He loves, and I just didn't really understand that compassion, that deep love. So I like Proverbs better, you know. I like King Solomon because he gives me wisdom and everything. And I couldn't really deal with Psalms because it was just too much love. But then what I realized is, and that's because I didn't understand love. God is love, right? Okay. So since I was godless, I really couldn't understand it. It wasn't until I changed my life that I understood it. If you want to know who God is, the essence of God, read Psalms. It's all in there. I mean, we're talking, David had a deep, deep relationship with God. I mean, more than I see any person other than Christ himself, any person in that Bible. I've never read so many terms and descriptions of who God is than Psalms. Then I started looking at Job. Job doesn't have any of those qualities. Job doesn't sit there and talk to God at all. He just worships him. He just follows his commandments. It's almost like he's following the formula. If I do this, then God will do this for me, kind of thing. So we can look at that aspect. So what we have is he has friends that's telling him he has a secret sin, and that's why God is punishing him. And they go back and forth. And Job says, no, I don't have a secret sin. No, I'm following God's commands. No, I'm innocent of all these charges. And it's on and on and on and on. So I said, then when you get down to the end of it, God corrects Job. And that's where we're going to come in at. And there's a lot of deep stuff in there. But what I want to do is I want to have a little bit more time to summarize that debate back and forth and try to get some good stuff out of Job and his friends and kind of summarize that whole thing. And it's going to take me a long time to do that. So I say, let me go ahead and we'll take a little break. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at something very important. I had someone close to me that needed some benevolence, and they went to Greenville Avenue congregation. And Greenville Avenue, when they do their benevolence program, they have a class you have to go through. You have to study it, and it teaches you how to be wise with your money, and then it goes into the gospel and really goes into that. But one of the parables that they go into is the seeds. And I thought that was a very interesting one. That's one I want to look at. Let's go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 8 and chapter 5. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. So I'm going to go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 8, and then we'll look at verse 5. I'm going to see you, Mark, Luke, and John. That's chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I'll get there eventually. Then we'll look at starting with verse 5. Okay. And see if I want to go all the way to 15, but the ground that brings forth the sacred take heed, whatever, which will have unheard forth riches. Okay. Yeah, that's it, 15. All right. Somebody come up and give me a good reader. Come up and read Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 15. We're going to take a look at that one. All right, I don't need everybody rushing up here at once. Come on. Settle down, you guys. Good morning. Good to see you, brother. All right.
Chapter 8, verses 5 through 15. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate it, my brother. Okay, so we go through this parable and we'll look at chapter 5. A sower went out to sow, and I want you to visualize this. Okay, so we have a farmer, and you know, they plow the land, and they used to use the mules and sometimes the buffalo, not the buffalo, but what was that big ox? The ox plows the ground, right? Breaking the soil. So once you get the soil open, what do? The seeds, right? Plant those seeds, just throw those seeds in there. So the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the way, with the wayside, and it was trodden down by the fowls of the air, and and the fowls of the air devoured it. So you're out there and you're throwing seeds. Now, those who came off of a farm, what happens to some of them seeds that you throw out there? Birds eat them. What else? Huh? The fowls, is that what you said? Yes. Oh, yeah, they will sprout. Okay, good point, because we'll go there. All right, so let's say we got the seeds. Some of them are not going to make it because the birds are going to come and they're going to eat them, right? They ain't going to make it. Okay, the ones that get eaten ain't going to make it. And then you've got those that are, let's say they do go into the ground and they sprout. What happens sometimes when you have young plants that sprout? Yeah, they can get choked up by weeds. What else? Dogs can eat some of them, that's true. They do have certain grasses that they eat for their stomach's sake. They can dry up and wither away. They may not get enough water, right? That's right. Yes, sir. Uh-huh. There you go. Pollination. Bird poop, okay, and they'll do that. They'll eat a certain seed or vegetable that has seeds, or not vegetable, fruit with seeds in it, and they'll poop it, and that plants it. Yeah, exactly. It's like a bee pollinating. You know, they go and they get the pollen, and they go over there and they pollinate, and that's why, like, those of you, okay, how many watermelon experts are in here? Raise your hand. You know how to pick a watermelon. Raise your hand. Now, there, come on up.
So,
nope. Okay, what do you look for in a good watermelon? Huh?
Mature.
Mature? We definitely want it mature. That's true.
Yellow on the belly.
Yellow on the belly. What does that mean if it's yellow on the belly? Sunshine hit it on the top. So we want to make sure that sun got it. It's yellow on the belly. It stayed there long enough to get some sun. Huh?
Yellow.
Okay.
Red. They got yellow.
They got red. What else are we looking on the surface of that watermelon to make sure it's nice and tasty? Huh? You know those ugly stripes all over the watermelon? Those brown looking things? And we look in and go, ugh. No, that's good. That's pollinated, exactly. That shows you it's been pollinated, okay? So we look at, I used to pass those up. But those are the ones you want. Those are the ones you, I'm sitting there thumping, you know, like, okay, that's a good one, huh?
That's the one you're looking for.
You can't tell by thumping, trust me. That ain't the only way to tell. And then if the stem breaks off easy, you know it's ready. But it's exactly. You can tell sometimes. But that pollen is what you want to look for. It's been pollinated. So not only does it have a yellow belly, it's pollinated. And the rounder, the better. Guess what? That's the female. So the female watermelon is better. That elongated one, that's the male. Those are not traditionally very sweet, so you want to look at the ones that are more round. So you learn all these things, right? Okay, now we're going to look at chapter 5. We understand that the sores out there soaring. Now let's look at verse 12. I said chapter 5, I meant to say verse 5. Now we're going to explain verse 5 with verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Person comes to church. They hear the gospel, okay? Brother Kelly's up there and he makes it simple and he just preaches that gospel. And the person out here that hears it, man, that makes sense. This man has given me book, chapter, and verse. And then they go out and their friends go, hey, did you see that YouTube video, man? It blasts. Man, the church, that's fake stuff, dude. We came from aliens. Man, that religion was written by men. All that stuff, that's why I'm not a part of organized religion, man, because that stuff is written by men. They just want to control you. Dude, we came from aliens. And so they're like, no, man, I just read the Word of God. It says, it tells. And then all of a sudden, they start studying all this stuff, and in their heads, the devil. And look what it says now in verse 12. It says, those by the wayside, they're talking about the ones that the birds come and eat. They hear, then cometh what? The devil. All right? So that buddy of mine that told me about that YouTube video, who do you think sent him?
Yeah.
The devil sent him. Okay? Now, this is the thing. Once you have people trying to give you doubt, man, you can't believe that Bible. Man wrote that Bible. Man, they got all kinds of evidence. And I think we came from aliens and all this stuff that you can go on YouTube and get lost. Because I got a buddy of mine where he's all over the map. I can't keep up with him, okay? He's like quantum physics, man. He's just all over the map. Well, I looked on YouTube and they said, da-da-da, da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know. Oh, man, I've been working with him for 30 years. Yeah. Okay, so it says, cometh the devil and take away the word out of their hearts. Why does the devil want to take the word out of your heart? You just heard the truth. Okay, the truth will set you free. The truth will save your soul. Why does the devil not want you to? What is the devil's intention? That's it. Does not want you to be saved, us to be saved. So it says, here comes the devil, right? And he taketh away the word out of their hearts, out of here, right? Lest they should believe and be saved. That's very powerful. So that means all this stuff that comes in your mind, you better believe if you're hearing things that are not questioning the existence of Christ, questioning the existence of the Bible, whether it's made by man, all this stuff is the devil wanting to remove that word from you that's able to save you. Because misery loves company. Where's the devil going to go when the judgment day comes? Where is he going to go? Where's his home? Helly hell hell, right? Now, do you think the devil knows that? It's not going to be a surprise for the devil. The devil knows exactly where he's going. Do you think his angels, the fallen angels, know where they're going to? The demons? They know where they're going to. Have you heard that old saying, misery loves? He wants some company. Okay. The devil wants us to join him. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? To know that the devil really wants us. He wants us down there with him. Yeah. So that's Let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture." Our brother over here was talking about, you know, the fact that it needs water, right? Plants need water. So if the seed, they threw the seeds out and it came up on the rock, first of all, the rock is blocking the sun, okay? Then it's choked out because it's not getting the moisture that it needs. It's not raining upon it enough. And so these, and the Bible explains in verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear the word, they receive the word with joy. These are people that are happy. Man, I went to that Main Street Church of Christ. That Brother Keller guy got up there, man. It was a wonderful lesson. I ain't heard nothing like that. They got joy. They ready to go out and tell somebody, right? And these have what? No root. They're newbies. They just heard this. They don't have experience. They haven't gone through the trials and tribulations. They haven't developed patience. They haven't developed perfection. They're brand new at this. They're not grounded, right? What happens in a tornado? You get a house that's made in, let's say, 1960s, 1970s. Even 1950s, okay. Sturdy houses. The old houses, they stand up, right? And then you get one of these new furbished, the paper homes, right? All the fake stuff. They don't have real wood and everything. A tornado comes through. Or a mobile home. What do you think is going to happen to the mobile home in a big tornado? You're going to take it with it. What do you think is going to happen to one of these new homes that they use all that cheap, you know, it's cheap product. It's gone. But the one that has roots, okay, the stable one, it's going to stay. So they, the ones that fell on the rock, are they which when they hear and receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe. So they actually believe. They hear the word, they believe the word, and in time of what? Temptation. And that word temptation here is translated as testing. Going through testing, James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you go through various trials and tribulations, testing. They fall away. They don't make it. Now, we've been studying Job, right? Okay, so let's say Job is this one that fell on the rocks. Job heard the word of God. Received the word of God, had joy in the word of God. God blessed him. He's the richest man in Asia. He had 10 kids, 7 sons, 3 daughters, all this stuff. Life is good, right? And all of a sudden, all that tragedy hit him. He lost everything. $25 million gone, right? He lost it all. Lost all of his kids. And then when that happens, that's his testing. And his wife says, "Why don't you just go ahead and curse God and get it over with?" And then Job curses God and gets it over with. Job would have been the person that is talking about in verse chapter 6. That's the one that fell on rocky soil. That's the one that has no roots. So we know at least Job has roots, right? Because he fell on the ground. He worshiped God. He didn't curse God. And so the person that just gives up, soon as something bad happens to him, they give up. That's what it's talking about. That's the parable in verse 6. Now, Now the parable of this, the seed is the word of God. Okay. In verse 11. Because we just did verse 6. Some fell on the rocky ground. Then the sun fell among the thorns. Okay. The thorns, and they sprang up with it and they choked it. We talked about that, weeds. Those who try to, let's say you're trying to grow tomatoes or you're trying to grow some kind of, if those who are used to farming, something to eat, okay? And then weeds grow up among them. What are the weeds doing? Choking them out. What are the weeds competing for?
Food. What else? Light. What else? You got it. Water. So everything that is necessary for that plant, that vegetable, that fruit to grow, weeds are in competition. Weeds are trying to grab the sun. Weeds are trying to grab the water. Weeds are trying to grab the food from the soil. And so that's an explanation of that. In verse 13. So verse 14 says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit into perfection. I could use a lot of examples. I try to, the music industry is the biggest one. And I'm going to look at the Beyonce, okay? Because a lot of people know about Jay-Z and Beyonce, who are unfortunately worshipers of a Luciferian type of religion. It's demonic. And so they don't represent anything good. Does anybody know anything about Beyonce? How she started? Destiny's Child. Before they formed Destiny's Child, you know what type of music they used to sing? Yep, church music. And you can go back probably even the 50s. A lot of those people start off in the church singing. Aretha Franklin, I'm sure a lot of those, Whitney Houston, all of them, they start off in the church. Amy Grant, you know, kind of people, starting off in the church. And then all of a sudden, cares of the world, the promise of a big paycheck, but you got to change the way you look, you got to change what the music you do, and all of a sudden they become demonic and all this filth and this trash, right? But it's for the big, it's for the money. A lot of us, yeah, what was that? You got to pull the weeds up, exactly. But look at what the weeds are. You're being choked. What are some of the things in life, just the life that we live, that can choke us? In other words, what are some of the things that can distract your attention, you take away your time, and take away your focus and effort, and take them away from God and put them on other things? What are some of the things in life? Money, especially the pursuit of money. What alcohol can do it. Because it's the pursuit of what alcohol can do for you. It's something that it does for the body, right? Just like any other drug. And we can do that for it. I mean, from crack cocaine to heroin, whatever it is, methamphetamines, you know, just there's so many different drugs out there. Caffeine, okay? Nicotine, right? And I can tell you, you can list all them so-called bad drugs out there. And I used to think crack was, whew, that was a bad booger. You know what the worst booger is? Cigarette smoke. That's the baddest booger out there. What are you talking about there, cigarette smoke? It's the baddest one. Have you seen a person that used to do crack? They don't do crack no more. Heroin, they don't shoot heroin no more. But what are they still doing? You better believe it. One thing I noticed, I was going to my buddy, the AA, to support him. You know, he's a big alcoholic, the worst one I had ever met. I never thought a human being could, his whole dorm room was full of beer cans. I mean, this guy was a alcoholic. And when he told me he was going to AA, I laughed because I thought it was a joke. But no, he was serious. So he started talking to me about the principles of AA, so I went. Now, you guys, if you're not familiar with it, some of you are, what are the two things that you're going to find at an AA meeting? Coffee and cigarette. They can give up everything on the sun, buddy, but they're going to have that cigarette and they're going to have that coffee. And you think the cigarette, you think you're smoking for no reason, those who are still smoking? There's a big reason. You just don't know it. I'm speaking as a respiratory therapist of 30-some-odd years, okay? I had to figure out there was chemicals that were put in cigarette smoke to make you addicted
worse than heroin, cocaine, and all the others. Because I've seen people come off that stuff, but they're still smoking. So that lets me know that the worst one is smoking. And alcohol, why is it so bad? Because it's legal. Why is smoking so bad? Because it's legal. You know, it'd be the same thing with marijuana pretty soon. Now, you know, I've got my feelings about that because it's some benefits to marijuana. I ain't going to lie. It's a lot of good stuff. It's here for a reason. God put it here for a reason. It's a lot of medicinal purposes in it. You know, but if people are just smoking it just to, you know, for the high, then that's not what it's about. But it is. It does stabilize certain people, moods, chemical imbalances, the whole bit. I mean, it's real stuff. I had a son that smoked it because of that reason. And trust me, he did have some issues, you know. And but the most addictive thing you see is cigarettes and alcohol choking the world. What else are some of the things that can choke us, take our attention away from God? Materialistic things. People pursue materialistic things. Man, I want a boat. I want a yacht like my neighbor over there. I want a car, a BMW, a Volvo. I'm not, you know, those who have it. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about those who pursue that. You know, they want that materialistic thing, and their mind is off of God because of that. Right? That's what I'm talking about. If you can afford it, you got a good deal. Certain people driving around in them fancy cars, they're paying less than you are for your Chevy because they know how to negotiate a good deal, okay? Met plenty of those. So don't think they're paying more, okay? Some of them paying less than you are for your car. All right, so what are some of the other things? Huh? Pride of life. I can summarize the pride of life by this. I. God says this, but I'm going to do this. I know God's word says this, but I am going to do this. That's the pride. It's yourself. You're your own God is what they teach, you know. Do as thy wilt is the whole of the law. And that's what you have. A lot of the Luciferians that believe. And they're teaching that in the Masons and the higher levels. And so those are the things that you see on TV. You see people doing what they want to do. In the movies, doing what they want to do. In the music industry, do what I want to do, right? That's the whole thing. And so you're choked by the pride of life. What are some of the other things that take us away from God? Like, huh? Gossip. Gossip will do it, okay? Now, I like that. Thank you, okay, because that's a huge thing. What are you talking about? Facebook. Okay? Man, we gossip and talk about people. It's all over the place, and it's like World War III. Social media. Okay? Gossiping, folks talking about folks. It's all over the place. And they would rather get into gossip than get into the Word of God. Seriously. They'll look at the Facebook to see what the next gossip is before they'll read the pages of the Scriptures. So there's so many things that will choke us and take away our focus. All right, let's keep going. And let's see, the wayside, some fell up on the rock and then thorns. Okay, so 8. And others fell on ground, on good ground, excuse me, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath an ear, he that hath ears, that is, to hear. Let him hear." It's very emotional, okay? So you have people that when they hear the truth, and let's go ahead and turn over to that particular one, but the good ground in verse 15 says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word," they do what to the word? They keep it, okay? So God gives you the word, you grab the word and you keep it. Here, right? I'm not saying that's for the heart. That thing just pumps blood, right? That's the biblical heart. You keep the word that you hear here. Having heard the word, you keep it and you bring forth fruit with patience. One seed, okay? Do it in the ground. One plant. Let's say orange tree. One tree, but multiple fruit, right? Multiple oranges on that one tree. So we may have, you know, 500 oranges on that one tree. That's you. That's each and every one of you that pull in the Word of God. You keep the Word of God in you. Guess what the Word of God is going to do for you? It's going to produce what? Fruit. It's going to produce good fruit. So that's how you know. Did the Word of God come in me, then leave in me, or is it still in me? What are you doing? Okay? What are some of the things you do in your life that you know that you have good fruit? The Word of God is in you. You know? Why can't I go and kill somebody? They made me mad. I hate them. And I want to kill them. My flesh wants me to. I want to kill them dead. But I don't. Why? Okay? And the fruit tells me what? Thou shall not kill. You got it. That's it. That's the only thing. If it wasn't for the Word of God, guess what? That guy's dead. I'd have killed him straight up, straight away. I used to tell people in their face, I said, you better be glad there's a God, because you'd be dead right now. But I am, I'm flesh, okay? I am filthy. I am undeserving. I am evil, okay? I'm evil. Without God, there is no hope for me at all, because I've committed every sin, okay? I'm just evil, you know? I mean, I realize that. It's flesh. It's evil. But I'm also what? Spirit. Okay? There's me that loves God, that loves to do right. And those two, guess what they do? They war against each other. All the time. That's why I know I need God, because that guy right there, I know his thoughts. I know what I've had in my heart. Not good. Okay? Didn't even think I was capable of those kind of evil thoughts, but they're there. So we keep them under check with the Word of God. I want to go out and get drunk. Why don't I go out and get drunk? Because the Word of God tells me not to be drunken, okay? Again, I didn't say anything about drinking, okay? Some people say, oh, I can't drink alcohol. Drunkard is the sin. Being a drunk is a sin. That's drinking to excess. Just like eating. Eating is not a sin. You can eat, okay? So y'all stop starving yourself if you're not eating. Eat, but don't be gluttonous, okay? I had to fight that. That was one thing that got me to 475 pounds. Pure gluttony. I ate because I wanted to. I liked the taste of it. It had nothing to do with whether I was hungry or not. I was planning dinner buffet while I was eating lunch buffet, okay? And all my buddies, we'd be in there killing the poor man, putting him out of, we actually did put him out of business. I'm not proud of that, but we did. You know, we showed up as soon as he opened. He didn't have enough food to continue because we stayed there from open to close. Because we could, and we'd talk, and then we'd go back and eat some more, you know. And that's gluttony. You know, that's just pure gluttony. And a couple of businesses. Thai food is good food. It's expensive, though. You can't have Thai buffet. That's why you don't see any Thai buffets. Okay, so today we looked at the sower of the seeds. And let's see, where is Brother Truck? How much time do we have, Brother Truck? Let's see if I can touch a couple of things, or are we out of time? How much time we got, Brother? My timekeeper's got to grab his time. 3 minutes? All right, so we don't really have time to go to other places. We'll go a little, I think next week we'll go to some of the other things that they went into, and a lot of that has to do with knowing the truth. What does God say? What is salvation? You know, what is the gospel? You know, does anybody here know what the gospel is? Huh? All right. Does anybody kind of remember where that's found? Not to put anybody on the spot, but just, if it's just, anybody? Okay. That's all right. I'm not good at remembering scripture either, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and something's compelling me to go there. So go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll end with that. We'll end with the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. You heard the gospel, and you're standing on the gospel. That means that you can't forget it. You got to remember it, what it is. By which you are what? Saved. How are you saved? You're saved by the gospel. So you're saved if, big word, Kelly always says, big word, if you would keep in memory. Got to keep the word. That's just like we talked about. You receive the word, but you got to keep it. Can't let it go. We got to keep it. You got to keep it in memory. What I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Your belief is vain if you forget. You got to remember the gospel. For I delivered unto you first of all, which also I received. So I received the same thing. How that Christ did what? Died. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. We have to die too. How do we die? We die to our sins. How do we die to our sins? We have to repent. Turn away from your sin. I don't want to sin anymore. I repent. That's how we die. Verse 4. And that he was what? Buried. Okay, so if he's dead, you bury him. Now, if you die to your sins, you're dead too. So you need to be buried. Where are you going to be buried at? Where are we going to be buried? Watery grave of baptism, right? And that he rose again. So you got to be under something to rise up from something. So you're down in that water, and then you rose up. You're going to be raised up, that is, by the Holy Spirit, just like Christ was. You're raised up again on the third day was he, according to Scripture. So that's the gospel, how God, in the form of the Son, how he died, he was buried, and resurrected. We have the same thing. Now, he died, he was resurrected by the Holy Spirit, never to die again. We die, and we're buried, and we're resurrected, what? Never to die again. That's what God wants for us, is that once we obey the gospel, you don't have to worry about death. The physical death, yeah, okay, that's not a problem, the physical body. But your spiritual, your soul, won't have to die, okay? It lives forever if you're in Christ. All right, any questions about our subject today or any comments before we conclude the class? You guys did fantastic. I enjoyed this class as always. Any questions, any comments? Go in ein, zwei, drei. Okay. alles klar, that means okay. All right then, may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and studying of his word this morning. May blessings, God bless each and every one of you.